In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we celebrated the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus came from Galilee, that's where he lived, to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But you see, John's baptism was for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus never sinned. Listen, John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me." Jesus said to him in reply, "Allow it now, and thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. And after Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open for him. Oh yes, the heavens were open for him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming upon him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh yes, Jesus did not need the baptism to be forgiven, but it was the baptism of anointing that he would go out and begin to preach the word of God and to heal the sick and cast out demons. Oh yes, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. We see that a theophany in the Jordan River. What's a theophany? God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." God the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus like a dove, and Jesus is the eternal Son of the Father. It was a theophany. The whole Trinity appeared in the Jordan River. I'm reading from Isaiah 42, verse 1. "Thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold." Who is this servant? The suffering servant. Who is he? It's Jesus. "My chosen one with whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Upon whom I have put my spirit. Like a dove, the dove alighted over his head. He shall bring forth justice to the nations." The Messiah would be able, the scripture says, to be a blessing to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, because the people that walked in darkness have seen a wonderful light. "He shall bring forth justice to the nations," not only to Israel, but to the world, "not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the streets." Listen to gentle how God is and how gentle Jesus is. "A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench." Oh yes, this is the gentleness of the suffering servant. "A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he shall not quench." Maybe you're the bruised reed today, and he will not break you. He just wants to play a tune through the reed. Let him, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands, all the Gentiles, will wait for his teaching. And what does the Lord Jesus teach? He teaches us to love God with our whole heart, our whole soul, and our whole strength, and to love our neighbor as he loved us, even unto death. "I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice." Amen. God called you for the victory of justice. He did not call you to just be destroyed. He called you for the victory of justice. I grasped you by the hand. Yes, not only the Messiah, but you, God, grasps you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant to the people, a light for the nations. Yes, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, a light to the nations, opening the eyes of the blind. Oh, yes, blind Bartimaeus, he opened his eyes, opening the eyes of the blind, and to bring out prisoners from confinement. What about that man that was filled with demons? He brought out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon, those who live in darkness. Jesus is the light who comes into the darkness of our being, and with his blood brings us forgiveness. With his blood brings us love. With his blood brings us to be the children of God as we are baptized. Now we're going to look at Acts 10:34. Peter proceeded to speak to those in the house of Cornelius. Remember, Cornelius is a Gentile, saying, in truth, I see that God shows no partiality. In other words, when Peter proclaimed the gospel, the people in Cornelius' house began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts rightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ. You know, people say we want peace in the world. The only peace giver is through Jesus Christ. Everything else is a lack of war. Only Jesus can give us peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives it, do I give it. Let not your heart be troubled. Whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened over all Judea, beginning with Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God, and this is what happened at the baptism, anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Oh yes, there was a great anointing as the Trinity showed up, so that Jesus would go about healing the sick, casting out demons, and proclaiming the kingdom of God. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This was the job of the Messiah, to bring light to the nations, to deliver people from the demonic. I want to tell you this. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is upon you. And Jesus cast out demons by the finger of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're looking now at the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge puffs up. I know the gospel. You got to be kidding. You're just a student of the gospel. But I have been with the Lord for 97 years. You're always a student with the gospel. Jesus says, I am the teacher. You are the student. Amen. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge. But anyone who loves God is known by him. Do you love God today? Do you love Jesus today? Do you love the Holy Spirit today? Have you told him, I love you, Lord? Have you told him, I love you, Jesus? I don't know if you have. If not, tell him now. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. One God and three divine persons, yes. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is only one God, the Father from whom all things and for whom all things exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things, through whom we exist. Oh yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that I look out and I see the ocean? The ocean was made through the Word of God. The Father spoke His Word, and oceans came about. Do you know that today? That the Father spake His Word, and you came about. Yes, what is the Word of the Father? His name is Jesus. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some have become so unaccustomed to idols until now. They still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do eat. Oh yes, food is not anything to God. What is to the God that we love, that we have faith, that we have hope? That's what God sees. Not food, I'm eating a prime rib. That has nothing to do with God. But we give God thanks for the prime rib. Oh yes, I don't want to talk about food because I'll get hungry. I haven't eaten yet. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. In other words, you can eat food offered to idols. But if it offers a stumbling block to the weak, don't do it. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. You don't want to bring anything to the weak believers. You say, but I'm weak too. Don't eat food offered to idols. Christ died and are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family, and would there be conscience when it is weak, your sin is against Christ. Therefore, if food is the cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. In other words, you don't eat food offered to idols if a believer is not a strong believer. You eat the right food at the right time. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food. But God gives us the Holy Spirit who loves us and who has come to us in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, that wonderful Holy Spirit alighted on Jesus' head that day. Chapter 9 of the 1 Corinthians. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle, one sent? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Yes, in the 9th chapter of Acts. Are you not my work in the Lord, the Corinthian community? If I am not an apostle to others, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. In other words, I brought the gospel to you, and you became a believer. I became your father in the Lord. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the right to our food and to our drink? Do we not have the right to be accompanied by a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Peter? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Paul did not take money from the preaching of the gospel. He built tents, T-E-N-T-S. He was not going to take anything from them, lest they say, you did it for money. Paul earned his money by making tents. Who at any time pays the expenses for doing military service? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat any of its fruit? No, if you plant a vineyard, you're going to eat the fruit of the vine, which are grapes. Or who tends a flock and does not get any of its milk? Well, if you have a flock, you're going to get some of its milk. Do I say this on human authority? Does not the law also say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned, or does he not speak entirely for our sake? It's for our sake. It's for our sake God speaks. It was indeed written for our sake, for whomever plows should plow in hope, and whoever threshes should thresh in hope of a share of the crop. If we have sown spiritual good among you, is it too much if we reap your material benefits? In other words, we brought the gospel to you. The gospel, we proclaimed the kingdom to you. Should we not reap food from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we still more? But nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure everything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. In other words, Paul says, I didn't even take money for food. I did it in faith, even though it was coming to me, but I did it in faith, and I made tents to gain my money, to buy food. Do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is sacrificed on the altar? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel, but Paul would not get his living by preaching the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, for am I writing this so that they may be applied in my case? Indeed, I would rather die than that no one will deprive me of my ground for boasting. And if I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting. Why? Why? He says, I've got to proclaim the gospel. For an obligation is laid on me, and woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. I say the same thing. I have been given the mandate to preach the gospel. That's why I'm preaching today. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this by my own will, I have a reward. But if not by my own will, I am entrusted with the commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. In other words, I gave it to you free of charge. Do you know that? Do you know that? I gave it to you free of charge. And I want to tell you, I proclaim the gospel by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do not take a penny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do it out of a commission that I have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I was a deacon, the cardinal said to me, receive the gospel of the Lord, whom you have been. And then he said, no, whom you will be now. I knew God was telling me that I had proclaimed the gospel way before I was ordained a deacon. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. And what are the blessings? Bringing people to heaven, making them right through the blood of Jesus, getting them baptized, but before they're baptized, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it, amen, by grace. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself might not be disqualified. Oh yes, Paul hurt his body so that he always knew that the proclamation of the gospel was a gift to him, and he wanted to be upright so that when Christ judged, he would say, this is a man who gave his life to the proclamation of the kingdom and of the gospel. Oh yes, I don't want to save others and myself be lost. No, that's why I am a sinner saved by grace, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It started at baptism, but it continues today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your will. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I surrender all, I surrender all to Jesus, precious Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all, I surrender all to Jesus, precious Savior, I surrender all. And may God bless you today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And I say, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.